And so now what he's going to be dealing with, the marriage relationship speaks to us about the relationship between Jesus and his people. So what we find here in verse 30 is that Christ provides for us as his church. Why? Because we are members of his body. We are members of his body. And so Christ provides for his church because it is so intimately, it is so inseparable, connected to him. And we ought to be glad that we are members of his body. Because if he did not care, if he did not care for his church, then he would be diminishing his own glory, which the church brings to him praise. It brings to him glory. It brings to him obedience. So in marriage, the husband's life is so intimately joined to the wife that they are one. They are one. And so when he cares for her, he cares for himself. We looked at that in verse number 29. When he says that, for no man yet hateth his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. And so when you look at this verse 30, this is a spiritual statement of the church being the body of Christ. You remember Paul, he talked about the church there in 1 Corinthians, but he used the illustration of the body. You know, as the members, you know, there are many members, but yet one body. And so that's what this is a spiritual statement dealing with the body of Christ. What the Lord did, you remember the Lord himself, he took on the form of a servant. He came to this earth. And so we see, so now as he says, after he have talked about the husband and the wife and the marriage, he said, now we are members of the body of his flesh and his body, in his bones. And look at verse 31. Now, because of this, for this cause, because of what he's been talking about in all of these verses, now he's telling them, he said, for this cause now shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Now, what he is quoting is, he is quoting from Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24. He's quoting from Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24. And so what Paul is reinforcing here is that Paul reinforced the divine plan for marriage, which God instituted at creation. And he emphasized it. He emphasized the unity, that we all be united, we all be one. And so the union of marriage is intimate and it's unbreakable. Notice what he says. He says, join. Y'all see that word? He says, they shall be joined. Well, what did that word mean? It's a word which used to express having been glued, having been cemented together. It emphasizes this oneness, this union that he's talking about. So God's standard for marriage did not change from the time Adam until the time of Paul, but guess what? It has not changed to this day. It's still the same. So we understand. He says now he leaves his father and mother. See, a husband and wife has a better chance for successful marriage if there is some independence physically emotionally, financially, from parents and in-laws. That's why he says that they need to leave father and mother, and they join themselves together because they are one. One of the greatest barriers of successful marriage is the failure of one or both partners to leave father and mother. Parents are always to be loved, yes. They are always to be cared for, yes. But they are no longer to control the lives of their children once they are married. They have a relationship now with each other. They have to build that relationship with each other. And so, but also we have to understand is that marriage is to be lasting. It ought to be lasting as far as the earthly lives of husband and wives is concerned. But though he has made some provisions, God has made provision for divorce in cases of unrepentant and continued adultery. Over there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. And 32, Matthew chapter 19, and verse 4 through 10. But also he talks about over there in 1 Corinthians 5, in verse 17, he talks about the departure of an unbelieving spouse. All right? So he talks about that in 1 Corinthians 5, in verse 17. If you're a Christian and that person is not a Christian, that person decides they want to leave, let them leave. All right? Because guess what? You are under God's law. But that person that is not a believer, that is not a Christian, is not. All right? So if that person chooses to. And so what you got to do is you got to always be that example. Be that example to that person. And so we have to understand that when marriage is to be lasting, it ought to be for forever to God. Calls you from labor to reward. And so God, so he says for this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to and join to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. God has always loved people. He's loved his people the way Jesus Christ has also loved his church. And so we need to understand, and as Christian husbands, we are to always love our wives. Because that's what he says. He says, if you go back in verse, we talked about that, right? Inconsiderable. Husband, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for you. So in other words, when you're looking at your marriage, Christ needs to be in the center of your marriage. God needs to be there. In that marriage. And so the reason I love my wife, the reason that she submits to me is because of the fact of verse 21, in the fear of the Lord. I do it because of the fact I want to be pleasing to Almighty God. And y'all, if we ever get that in our mind, regardless of whether you're married or single, your mindset ought to be every day to please God. That's what it needs to be. Every day I'm striving to please God. All right? I want to respect God. I want to be pleasing to God. And so if we always look at that. And so now what he does is watch how he moves. He moves now. After he talked about the member of the body, after he talks about now as you are husband and wife, now you got to leave your father and mother, and you too shall be one flesh. You are one now. And so now what he does is notice what he says. Now this is a great mystery. Out of all of this he's been talking about, he's been the husband and the wives and all the submission. He says, now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So what is he saying? Paul pointed out in verse 23 through verse 29, marriage is a picture of the church. You go back and look at it. Didn't he talk about that? He always described when he talked about the husband and wife, didn't he talk about the church? He said that Christ loved the church. Husband need to love the wife. Christ is the head of the church. Husband, you are the head of the wife. And so out of all of that, he said, now this is the mystery. But what I'm speaking of, out of all of this, I want you to see it. I'm dealing with Christ and the church. And so it's a picture. Marriage is a picture of the church as its relationship to Christ. That's why Paul spent all of this time talking about in the fear of the Lord, talking about your spirit. You know, have the right spirit. Be filled with the spirit. He's using up all of this time talking about this. But he's saying also, but listen, marriage is a picture. When you think about your marriage, you think about a picture of the church, of Christ loving the church. Christ shedding his blood for the church. Christ sacrificing for the church. Christ, he is protecting, he is providing for the church. And so when we look at that, then our responsibility is the same as Christ, is that we need to protect, we need to provide, we need to sacrifice, we need to love. Why? Because that's what Christ done. That's what Christ done. All right, so he talks about this mystery, this magnificent picture that men could never discover, that was unknown to the saints in the old covenant. But now it is revealed. It's revealed. That's great. Because whatever thing, all this stuff, that was foretold. But now it's revealed. And so it's no longer a mystery anymore. All right? It is revealed. And so we understand that God's new people, the church, are brought into his kingdom and into his family through faith in Christ. So we understand it. Now, he is the bridegroom. Now, we talked about that, and we've seen that over there in Matthew, right? Talking about the bridegroom. I think we're there with a sermon on that, about the bridegroom and the bride. And so as we look at this, Christ, he is the bridegroom, but also we understand, and, you know, the church is his bride. So what's a husband's greatest motive? His greatest motive for loving, purifying, protecting, caring for his wife is that Christ loved. Not only did he love, he's purifying, he's protecting, he is caring for his own bride, the church. And so that was the mystery, is that our relationships, our marriages, ought to resemble Christ's relationship with his church. All right? What he does for the church. And so Christian marriage is to be loving. It's to be holy. It's to be pure. It's to be self-sacrificing, mutual submissiveness. Because those virtues characterizes the relationship of Christ and the church. So that's what it's all about. So when he talks about the bride of Christ, the relationship of Christ to his church is illustrated by that of the husband and the wife. All right? So again, Christ is called the bridegroom, and his church is called the bride. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse it, and glorify it. And so we see that. So all of this was to show, all of this that Paul has been dealing with all the way through Ephesians chapter 5 is to show the relationship of Christ and the church. That's what he's been dealing with and all of this time. But he's talking about the marriage, but he always had reference to Christ and his church. And so that's what it's all about. So the relationship of man and wife upon this earth shows little shadow of the relationship between Christ and the church. So there's order in heaven. There's order on this earth. And so we need to understand that. So the wife was made for the man, right? The wife was made for the man as the church was made for who? Christ. And so we see that. And so it's very difficult to separate Christ. And it's just, many people want to do that. They want to separate Christ and the church. But you can't separate Christ and the church because of the fact that he died for the church. He loved the church. You can't separate that. You can't talk about the church without talking about Christ. You can't talk about Christ without talking about his church. It's right there. And so we need to understand. And then in verse Ephesians 5 and verse 33, he says, now, he goes back and he says, now, nevertheless, look how he concludes it. Let every one of you in particular, y'all see how he concludes it? So love his wife, even as himself. And the wife sees that she reverence her husband. So he ends this by what he started out with in verse 21. He started out with submission. He started out talking about love and the wife being submitted and all of that. And so he ends it with the same thing. I've talked about all of this. But this is what I want you to remember. Out of talking about all of this, you remember that you love your wife even as yourself, and the wife see that she reverence or submit to her husband. And so that right there, and so he deals with now, he's dealt with the husband and what? The wife. He's dealt with that relationship. And so when you go to chapter 6, he now starts a new relationship. And that's the parent and the child. All right? The child has a responsibility, but also parents have a responsibility to their children. So let's begin to just go there and as we talk about in chapter 6. In chapter 6, he starts out in verse 1 through 3. Because verse 1 through 3 of chapter 6, it deals with the spirit-filled life. Again, it goes back. Everything goes back talking about the spirit. The spirit. If you feel with the spirit, if you're doing what God says do, guess what? You're going to follow everything that I've been talking about. And now he's saying, now, the fit deals with the spirit life of the parent and child relationship. Let's see what he has to say. He starts out by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What, we hear that right? What, we hear that? Didn't we just hear that in 21 when he says that we need to submit in fear of the Lord? Now he says, the children, obey your parents in the Lord. For what? This is right. Now, all of this, including the husband and wife, it goes back to the Lord. Having respect for the Lord. Being pleasing to the Lord. And so what the apostle does is is that he gives us two reasons right here in this verse for the children to obey the parent. First of all, they are to obey in the Lord. This means that their obedience is part of their Christian obedience in a similar way to the wife's command to submit to her husband. Now watch this. Children obey. Wife submit. Y'all see that? Children obey in the Lord. Wives submit in the Lord. And so we see that. Wives submit to your husband as to the Lord. Y'all see that? Y'all see the same thing? That in verse where he talks about the wife, and now he's talking about the children. Both of them has a responsibility, and that's to the Lord. All right? That's to the Lord. All right? And so the second reason is because it's simply right. It's the right thing to do for the child to obey their parents. And so when that child is at home, and that child is under the authority, you have to be willing to be under the authority of the parents for this thing to work. Because why? They're going to do it because of the Lord. They have the fear of the Lord. So guess what? What are they going to do? They are willingly under the authority of a parent with obedient submission to the parents because of the fact of the Lord. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. And we see that. So when you look at the word children, now it says children. You know, see that? It says children. Now when you look at children, it does not refer to particularly to your children, but to the offspring. In other words, sons and daughters are still under their parents' roof, are to obey their parents. Y'all see that? It doesn't matter whether they are Christian home or whether they are a non-Christian home. They still have a responsibility to obey the parents while they are under the roof. You know, our children, you know, it was under our roof, but, you know, they thought they wanted to be the parent. I said, well, if you want to be grown, but as long as we're paying the bill, then guess what? You're going to follow our rules. But if we don't want to follow our rules, that'll do. And so that's how if you're under their roof, you know, in other words, they go in, you know, they got their room, they going to close their door, and you know, no, this is still part of the house. The door is still part of the house. So if I want to come in your room, guess what? It's still part of the house. Yeah, you ain't got no room. You are not paying no rent. You ain't paying nothing here. You're eating food. And so we understand that children, if they're submissive, if they fear the Lord, guess what they're going to do? They're going to obey him. Why? They're going to obey their parents. So we need to understand that. So children, they obey has to do with action. It has to do with honor. But also it has to do with attitude. Those three things. It has to do with action. It has to do with honor. And it has to do with attitude. All right? And so we have to understand it. So children who is brought up to obey and honor the parent will always be sensitive to the wisdom, to the counsel, to the welfare. If they're brought up, if they're taught right. And so that's what we have to do. We have a responsibility as parents to teach our children. To teach our children what's right and what's wrong. As long as they are under the roof, we ought to teach them even when they leave out. We still can teach them. And sometimes, you know, some children can't, they have to learn things the hard way. I don't know where y'all are. You know, sometimes, you know, that used to be me. You know, you have to learn something the hard way. You know, and you know, Daddy and them didn't tell me I told you so. I already knew what they were talking about because I messed up. I learned it the hard way. They was trying to teach us not to, you know, to avoid things that they have been through. But you know, what we call them, old-fashioned. Y'all out of date. You know, you don't know. But they, and so now, you know, as our children, we tried to teach them. But sometimes they had to learn some things the hard way. They had to learn some things. And when they learn it, and now guess what? They're teaching to their children. You know, don't do this. And guess what? It's a cycle. It's a cycle. And so we understand that. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. For what? This is right. It's the right thing to do. And so, but then in verse 2, he says, not only do you obey your parents, but you honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, when you look at the word honor means have inward respect and reverence for. Inward respect and reverence for. That's what it means. In other words, the right attitude behind the right act of obedience is honor. It's honor. It means to value highly. It means to hold in the highest regard and respect. And so as we see that, again, we see children, they are to obey your parents. We're going to stop there because I want to talk, deal with the, when he talked about the first commandment with promise. I want to be able to go back and show you on that. So children are to obey your parents in the Lord, but this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And we're going to see that. But, you know, as we look at that, look at Deuteronomy. Just go home and just look at Deuteronomy 5:16. Because that's what we're going to be looking at. Because that, when you look at this, you're going to see in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16 where he said, honor your father and mother. That is, again, is back there in Deuteronomy. And so right here, it's in this text as well. And the reason that they are to honor, the reason that they are to obey is in verse 3. In verse 3 is the summary of why they obey, why they honor their parents. Because they want to live long. Do you want to live long? Then that's what you do. You know, it's the same thing as Christian. Listen, if we want God to be pleasing and we want to live a long life as well, we want to do what God says do. We want to be pleasing to Him because God can cut your days short. He can. And so God can make them longer or He can cut them short. But the main thing is, regardless of whether He cut them short, regardless of whether He keep them long, the main thing is that I stay focused, I stay pleasing to God, I do what God asks me to do, and I obey Him. Why? Because I don't know when He's going to call me from labor to reward. So let's just think about that. So we'll pick back up with verse number 2. The latter part, and then we'll go on, because after he deals with the children, then he deals with the servants. He talks about the servant relationship to his master, and then after that, we can be free to start talking about putting on the whole arm of God. what do we need to do on that? And so, again, just want to thank you for attention and those who have listened on conference call. Thank you for listening in. I just want to go over the list that we have at this time. Again, let's continue to pray for Ken Gatewood, Tiffany Henson, Tamara Gatewood, Evelyn Johnson, Dorothy Bates, Mary Edwards, Eileen Nix, Ramona Williams, Denise Washington, Hubert Freeman, Sharon Glenn, Kimberly Smith, Mary Smith, Pam Walker, Gary Turnbull, Bob Abney, Bobby Abney, Ron Beatty, John Baldwin, James Baldwin, Kim Jefferson, Robert